I'd like to welcome you to the August 25th, 2025 meeting of the Salt Lake County Library Board. Now it's seven. Thank you to all who are here in person or virtually. Good. Would you like to give more sense of all?
No, but welcome. Thank you for coming out to our Draper grant. We'll hear all the details from Sarah here in just a minute, but for this is a really great location for some of our folks. I know we're leaving a distance location for some others, but it is gorgeous, and we're certainly glad to have you here today. And I think that's what we've got. Thank you to, I don't want to forget to thank our team, Melissa and Emily. Thank you for setting this up. It is amazing that we just get to come into a functioning LinkedIn room. So thanks for your work on that. And sorry, thanks for moving to the listening to today. That's my work for a long.
Thank you. First action item on the agenda is approving the minutes from the June 23rd, 2025 meeting of the Salt Lake County Library Board. Somebody like to make a motion? Matthew moves. Okay. You have a second from Ann. All in favor?
Aye.
Steve online?
Yes. Yes, from me.
Thanks, Steve. Any opposed? I think everybody read. Yes, so no opposition to the past thing. Public comments. Do we have any public comments from anybody, any members of the public in the room?
No comment.
Thank you. Any public comments from any members of the public that might be online? Hearing none, we will proceed. Correspondence.
Okay. It's been a busy season. I will cover a few highlights for us. The first is that we received a few reconsideration requests for materials in our collection. One of those that happens not infrequently, and our process is for our reconsideration committee to review those and respond to each of those requests individually, looking at the merits of that item as part of our collection. And oftentimes, that is sufficient. People are happy with that explanation. If people have additional concerns, they can appeal, and that appeal comes to me. I have received one of those, and I responded last week, and if they choose to appeal my decision, then it will come to you, and we'll talk to you through the process. We'll remind you about the process in terms of time frames for that. It doesn't look like that's happening today, but it might come through an email or somebody might show up to a meeting to set that in the future.
Yeah, 2.5 years I've been on the board, I haven't seen the reconsideration request in its way to the board yet.
Is there like a 10-day time limit from your decision for them to appeal?
What's a good question?
It's 30 days. I think it's 30 days from my decision to appeal. And I think that, you know, we don't know people's motivations, but our process is really excellent. Our team has done a wonderful job of setting up a process, and our staff throughout the system really take seriously when people come with these reconsideration requests. We feel like it's an important part of a democratic process for people to be able to tell us about the items in our collection. And so we want people to be welcome. And our reconsideration group does a thorough and thoughtful evaluation. So I hope and believe that part of the reason that we don't see more appeals to the board is because of how thorough and supportive our process is leading up to that. So.
And you've been really grateful. We have seen it in their hits.
Yeah, that's true. So that's one thing that I wanted to make you aware of. We also received some feedback about pride displays. We have book displays, which is different from sort of big decorations throughout our system. But our pride book displays did garner some comments from folks who really love them and from some folks who had some concerns about them. And then additionally, our summer reading theme this year was Color Your World. And so there was some interpretation from the public who believed that our Color Your World decorations were an extension of Pride decorations. So next year's theme is archaeologically focused, and so you probably see that overlap in the same way.
Just to clarify for the record, like, we, the library, celebrates all holidays and has multiple displays.
Yeah. So we did actually, when we were, so the Pride book displays, the Pride specific camp displays, we certainly do. And we also, at the same time, we did a very informal sort of survey of what displays people had out there. Included climbing displays, new fiction displays, new nonfiction displays, Father's Day displays, travel displays, national parks displays, because we try to make sure, we have a dinosaur one too, because the new Jurassic Park movie is coming up. So we try to make sure that our displays are thematic and timely, and so that includes Pride displays in June, among a lot of other celebrations.
Yeah,
absolutely. Juneteenth displays, absolutely. So, yeah, thank you for asking that question. I'm glad to talk about that. Okay, and then we also have our in-branch surveys where we sometimes get feedback, and I wanted to share a couple with you. We have had some concerns about some activity outside of our Midvale branch. We've had some folks spending a lot of time there, so we've been...
Like loitering concerns?
For that. So that's something we've been monitoring. And then we also had a request from someone in Kearns that the library be open on Sundays, which is something that we had considered, we had looked at, and hope to, again, in the future. And then, just like a nice one that I wanted to share, who says that I'm a nanny who is constantly looking for places to take kids, and I just want to say the play and pretend events where it's 2 hours of special toys in a big room is the best. My kids love it, and it's great for socialization, and it's right here in Waver. So I would make sure to share that with all of you by way of question. Yes.
And just a question on the Kearns Library. Has it been previously opened on Sunday and asked for is kind of a newer type of thing? I'm just curious.
No. The County Library has not had open hours on Sunday ever.
Okay.
I've been here longer than I have. That a couple of weeks ago, we did submit through our like mayor's budget process to have our libraries a few, I think four, so we
like
different libraries open on Sundays, and that didn't make it through the budget process. But we'll there might be a time where that's right for us to reconsider that.
I'm just wondering if there's any questions about that. That makes sense.
So, yeah, and like the city library, I think their main library, their main branch is open on Sundays, but maybe that's the only one. That's what it used to be. And so it's not, having some branches with others is maybe, we can probably hope to see
that. Okay.
If it, you know, lots of steps between now and then. Okay, that is our question.
May I ask a question about the interview thing? And this is ignorance on my part, but what is kind of our policy with respect to quote-unquote, you know, if somebody's not being a nuisance to others, not being a danger to themselves, right? Is it in an open space that during open hours somebody could hang out as long as they want, all day?
The library welcomes everything. So what we try to think about is no matter your socioeconomic demographic, we try to look at the activity. So if you're disrupting other patrons or sleeping in the middle of a walking thoroughfare, then we would want to address that. If you're on our property doing drugs, then we have to intervene on that. So really it's about the activity instead of the person, because we want to stay away from that profiling.
Okay.
That's our correspondence.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We'll now turn the time over to Sarah. Quick
thank you. I have flyers. We have a couple of stuff. I got more.
everyone likes something to follow along with.
They got show and tell because it makes it more interesting, right? So I just created just a little infographic like what you guys get for your board report that has just some stats from your library because no one wants to hear me read them, so you can look at them. So we're maybe usually tied for number two with Whitmore for the second most highest circulation in the system. So we check out lots of books, especially children's books. You can kind of see the breakdown. We put graphic novels in there. That's probably one of our largest, you know, growing collections as far as like going from smaller to a bigger percentage. We recently expanded the children's graphic novel section, and man, that place is booming. We can't keep things on the shelf in good condition. So it's really popular. We have lots of people visiting us from the park. We have a really, really, really great team here. I am just always constantly impressed with my team of supervisors and librarians and staff. They pull together and work so hard and so well together across, like, circulation and information, and it is such a privilege to work here with the team. I kind of just got some highlights of the numbers. We recently got a second library assistant. Thank you so much. She's amazing. She makes my life so much easier, and she, man, she is a gem. So we're really happy. We do a ton of programming. This is for the last year. We did over 800 programs. During the last calendar year, we have something going on all the time. We do them for all ages as well as all developmental levels, and we stay busy. In fact, we had a program this morning already. We did an adventure story time in the park, which Ellie, my children's librarian, started, and it is the funnest thing. They went up to the Sago Lily, like, nature garden, and she did a story time in the park, and then they walked around and explored the park, and she said it was great. She had a great turnout. She started those last summer and has been doing them. She told me she's going to try and do it in October, too, so she'll do one in September and October. So we do a lot of really fun programming here. So on to our highlights on the back. I got some pictures. This building, believe it or not, is 20 years old this year. It is hard to believe that 2005 was 20 years ago, but it is. And so our blast to the past, they did a little anniversary celebration here a couple weekends ago, and they just celebrated the story of the library, how long it's been here, our community, looking forward to the future, talked about chickens and trains, which is very interesting because that's like the history of Draper, but I think a lot of people who come into our library now don't know about that, and so it's kind of fun to bring that up. So this was historically an area that had a lot of chicken farms, egg farms, and in fact, the property right next to us here, which is now houses, used to be a chicken farm, and they had a bunch of chickens, and when I started here about 8 years ago, the previous manager would mention that sometimes I'd have chickens wandering over here, and there'd be, like, actual chickens at, like, the door, and I'd be like, oh, my goodness, I've never had to deal with chickens in the library. Fortunately, I haven't ever had to deal with them, but we have a lot of chicken statues here to kind of commemorate that history, and then trains also were a big part. If you go across to the tracks line, there's, like, a little caboose that kind of has a lot of great information about both how those two things kind of intertwined with, like, the trains coming up here and shipping out the eggs to the rest of the valley and the area, and so this is kind of a center of, like, commerce and egg production, and we still have the IFA there, so even though Draper is rapidly not becoming a farm area, it has a really strong heritage of farm that was reflected when they built this building, and so, like, the children's area had tons of farm trains and chickens. So that was pretty fun. They did a big party, and there's some pictures there. I really especially love the chicken statue from 2005, where you can see no landscaping, where now the landscape is huge and elaborate. So kind of fun. I want to talk about a few other things we do at our branch. We started in 2018 an all abilities program here. I talked about it the last time I came here, so I'm going to talk about what we're doing now. Our program here is so popular. During the summer, we would have two events a month, and each one would get over 100 people. These are adults with intellectual disabilities who would come with groups and with family members, and we would do programs two Fridays a month. This is something I'm really passionate about, and we have been trying to grow that around the system. Some branches have started. Now we have about five locations that are offering them. But in order to help branches offer the service everywhere, we designed, I started after I went to PLA, so it's a good investment, last year, these all ability kits. And so our branch here really works. We have work groups of librarians at other branches that help design some of the stuff that goes in, and then we work at coordinating with our staff and volunteers to assemble the kits. So I think it was last week or the week before, we assembled 500 kits that will go out to all of the branches on three different themes. So it was 500 total kits, and this is one of them. And our librarians create them, and then when groups come into one of the branches that doesn't have an in-person program, or even when it does, our staff are then empowered to approach the group and say, welcome to the library. We're so happy that you're here to visit us. We have this activity kit. You can take it home with you to your center, or you can do it here. But we love having you here, and we want to know that you're welcome. This has been a really great tool for some branches that may have had issues with behavior problems with some of these groups or complaints from other patrons, because now they're establishing like a good welcoming relationship with these groups, and their first meeting isn't like your patron is destroying the bathroom, which I know has happened in other branches, because they are now having this really welcoming interaction. And so we send these out every quarter. We have a new theme every quarter, and it's been really great. We continue to do our programming, and we're working with other libraries to continue to grow that programming. So something I love. And to transition to our last thing I'm going to talk about is actually connected, because our themes this quarter for the fall are all about art, because we do a tiny art show here at Draper. And we're on our fourth year, and it has grown every year. We get like almost 500 entries. It's huge and it's amazing. Last year we added an all ability category, and we created art at our all ability event, and the artists entered it, and we have five different categories now. And everyone comes in and they vote, and we had an award ceremony last year. It was amazing. We had like almost 100 people at the award ceremony to celebrate, you know, their families, like whole families would come. It was really super awesome. This year, what we're adding is, because we're always trying to think of new ways to, like, grow it and include people more, is we are inviting you guys, all of you guys in this room, to come and help us judge it. So we always have voting, so the public gets to come in and vote. I love that part because it helps people notice different things about the art. So each time they come in, they have to look at it to decide what their favorite is in each category, which honestly makes people engage with the art at a different level. But what we wanted to do was try to get our community members to come in and also help us judge it. So there'll be the popular vote, but there also will be an opportunity for all of you guys to come in and judge. It's a really quick spreadsheet we have. You just write the number of your top favorites in five categories on a little, like, Google Doc. It's certainly clunky. And then we will award those, and you guys are also welcome to come to that. So I included this. This is just a little welcome. We'd love to have you. It's super informal. You can come anytime the art show is up, which will be starting November 6th and going until, I think, about December 6th. So anytime during that, you're welcome to come in and judge. Anytime we're open. And then I have an invitation to the reception, which you're welcome to come and help us award the winners. So thank you guys, and thanks for letting me share all the fun stuff about our branch. Any questions for Sarah?
Thank you. That was great.
Thank you.
All right, so next item on the agenda, action item, the library borrowing.
Hi, I'm back this month again to talk about this borrowing policy. We got a little excited last month with the copy and paste, and decided to not let our out-of-county residents borrow library things. So we're coming back to fix that. So we would like our out-of-county patrons to check out library things. So we've just updated the one line in the policy. Sorry about that mistake. And looking for the board's approval on this.
Do we have a motion to approve the further revised library borrowing policy?
I move.
Okay, do a second. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, it passes.
Thank you.
Krista.
Thanks, Krista. A lot of eyes didn't catch that. See what you want us to say.
All right, so the next action item, Sarah, about the cultural arts exhibits.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk about the other policy on our agenda today. The cultural arts exhibits policy is the policy for exhibits that happen in library branches. We have a few branches that do have exhibit space that is curated. So to update the policy, we've made a few changes. The first is we've added an exhibitor expectations piece that we reference a few times in this document, and that is instead of having a contract that the artist and the library would sign, we have just a piece that the artist is going to sign to agree to our expectations. And this is also modeled off of the presenter expectations that we have if people want to be presenters for the county library. We've added that exhibit should also follow publicity and privacy laws, so we want exhibits to follow those as well. And then we have added some clarification about purchasing works. We do not have things to be for sale in the library, and that was a sticking point that we had the challenge communicating with some artists in the past, so this way we have language that they can use if their works are available for sale that we dictate to them so that they're not going to be in violation of policies. We also added the artists are responsible for the setup and teardown of their exhibits so that we don't have our staff handling their artwork and causing any damage. And then we also added the standard reconsideration language. So any policy that could be under the reconsideration policy, we have a boilerplate that we're using so that they are all following the same language and the same process. So I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have. Okay. It is pretty straightforward. It's just adding some clarification.
Yes, I
just want to be there.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, that's thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, now turn the time over to Joey for a building update.
Okay. Well, as you know, progress in the bill has been slow but steady. That you previously moved with the real estate transaction, we're still moving forward with the real estate transaction, and hopefully we'll be back in the way to be able to talk about it in more detail in public meetings soon, but it is in progress, so I wanted to let you know about that. And I wanted to let you know that our new sort of central services operation building that is a warehouse we purchased in March. Oh, that also seems like it was years ago. that we purchased in March, we have started selecting an architect, and we're starting like the initial conversations around designing for that space. So we're going to be moving on there. We'll do design for a few months. Don't quote me on the timeline, because we have a project timeline that is not in front of me in a second. But we'll be working on that for a few months, and then we'll start the renovations and look to hopefully have our team in the building in early 2027. So fingers crossed that that goes smoothly, but we're really excited about that function and the opportunity to look at how we manage our central, operations and how the collections will change a little bit because it has to be moving locations, but I think it's going to be a great chance for us to improve our processes for additional efficiency.
Thank you. Right, staff reports.
Yeah. For what?
I gave for less time, I should say. I gave you a little bit of an update overview about the Government Data Privacy Act. I told you I'd come back this month with an update, and the update is that there's not a lot of an update yet. We've been looking, so the state privacy auditor has a website, privacy.utah.gov. It's full of really helpful resources that are paving the path for us to make sure we're doing it. They have a little ready, set, go document. And the first thing is by December 31st, all government entities in Utah must initiate their privacy program. We've done that, so we're in great shape. We are also kind of through the preparation phase. So the county has designated a chief administrative officer for the entire county. And we have, I don't know if you all know Rachel Richardson. She's our data person and does a lot of this kind of stuff kind of behind the scenes. She is the library's records officer. So she's kind of the one who's helping us drive this. I am the temporary figurehead for this process. So, but Rachel is really doing all of it. The work group that is at the library is working on a privacy notification for all of our patrons. It's a couple of different steps. We have interest that we want the library, as you all know, privacy and is one of our library values. And so we're taking this very seriously. And in fact, that's part of the reason we're so far ahead of the game is because we've always taken patrons' personal private information very seriously. We're kind of writing that notification, but we're also, as soon as we're done, we're going to work with our chief officer for the county and make sure that we're talking the same language and that we're all on the same page. Also, I haven't shared it yet with Annalisa, so she'll want to have a good overview of that, too. I mean, you've seen some of the drafts when Megan was still working on my thing, so.
Maybe.
But we'll have something to discuss. So, and then the county will have a training for all county employees. I would assume that's next month sometime because I think we have the end of October to train all of our people. That might have changed, but I think that was the most recent date. So we'll be doing that. The state has created, it's like a short video that gives us a high-level overview of everything we need to be doing. As things continue to roll out, we'll add more pieces to that privacy training as well as the county. So that's kind of our update for right now, but we are moving forward with it, and I am happy to answer any questions I possibly can, but you guys will probably have heard enough about data privacy for today. So.
What's the next date that's coming?
So I think after the 31st of December.
Yeah.
I don't think that there's another date until 27 right now. We have passed a couple of dates. There was one earlier this year that any new contract we create has to have the new privacy language in it. But it's the 2027 date that gives us until that date to any of our old agreements to reconfigure and readdress. So that's happening as part of our process now when we're renewing contracts. So I anticipate that we will hit that date, but we have identified some vendors who at this point don't have a way to be in compliance. And so we may have to face some vendors as well, but we're looking at all of that.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah. Anybody else? Okay. Thank you.
Pamela, for our human resources update.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. I'm going to talk to you guys about two topics today. First, our teen summer internship program. This is a program that was started several years ago back when Robin Calhoun worked here. She started this program where we hired summer interns to give teens an opportunity to have a little part-time job, learn about the library. And now it's expanded to a much bigger program thanks to Sarah and to the team. So this year, the program ran from May to August. We had 17 summer interns, which worked at 16 branches plus the lifelong learning branch. The interns worked a total of 2,675 hours each. I think that might be an estimate. And we hired three of these summer interns as temps. So they'll continue working with us throughout the school year. And the way that frequently works is they up their hours in the summer. Some of them even return after, from college break to work for us. So we're starting this interest in librarianship as they get career. Here is the list of the people on the work group, and they have pulled this off in such an amazing way, which includes trainings to the people with different branches, the people that supervise at the branch, little programs for the the interns. I would say it's a super success because of these additional trainings that we've put into the program, and that's all thanks to this. Here's some of the things they did. Many of them just learned about shelving and circulation. This is something that you have to do on any role in the library job. They also learned to do displays. So they did some of these really cute displays in the library. We were talking about those earlier, about how we try to do things that are celebrate the season, celebrate new arrivals. And sometimes it's just something that they take an interest in and they like to highlight some of the books. They helped with programming. So this year, Lead and Lynn have been helped with our OWL camp. I think that we've talked about one in the Cross State program. That is, this year we had Spy Camp, and they were super excited to help with the Spy Camp. And that's a little STEM camp for the young kids. And just whatever projects that the branch they have or something that interests it. And this year we did a post-program survey, and I wanted to share some of these with you guys because I thought they were super cute. Defining moments. There was a Spanish speaker who really loved interacting with the families during the Kids Cafe, helping with OWL camp and Spy camp. And I love this bottom one because it's so teen-like, right? Boring at times, but also really important for that. So, it's a great program. We're going to do it again next year. And now the branches are super excited to be a part of this program, too. So that's our teen summer program. Any questions about that before I go on to second summer?
What is the age range of the interns?
We do 16 to 18. Now, we might hire a 15-year-old who's going to turn 16 right after starting, but mostly it's that they're in high school. That's the important thing. And they're hiring, each branch is hiring somebody from their home community. So Draper had one of them from a little team that was in this area, too. So any other questions?
How many hours do they work in? Is this a paid internship?
It is a paid internship. And they work how many hours a week?
Yeah, 20 hours a week.
Yeah.
They don't get a week, so they're really just looking at the teams. And so some teams will end up working like 10 hours a week, you know, take on the things they need to do within 20 hours, but never over.
Yeah. So it's a perfect little summer job for the you. Yeah. Any other questions? Now I'm going to talk to you just a little bit.
Yes, about salary.
I think it's $15 an hour each. I don't remember exactly, but that's not very
good. I think it's actually a little bit lower than that.
Like $14.75 or something.
Yeah.
No, please do.
Really great meetings for our staff who are interested in supervisors. So each branch should have somebody who's supervising its branch. And a lot of times it's somebody who's not in a position when they're already supervising. And so we do like a group to teach them about how to be a supervisor. And so now you're having like this librarian. A lot of times they're still librarians. For some librarians, we're now getting some practice supervising. And we set schedules, and we plan cars, how do I discuss like supervising things? And like, that's one of the big things I've come on is that we're training people who then might be interested in pursuing something like that and giving them opportunities to be somewhere even interested in. Is that
that's an excellent point, Sarah. We are always looking for ways to develop internally. We have a career mobility program, an acting in program, opportunities like this where people can just try it out, see if they like it for a summer. And we're identifying people who really may have leadership skills that we can invest some more time in, so that's a really good point. Another thing that we do at the end of the program for this offboarding process, we did a little resume training and things like that that we think could help these young people find their way, you know, just kind of use us as a springboard to find a way into that. That is where they want to
go. We still have a video screening from the college.
However,
I think
it's over.
We had one years and years ago who did the summer internship program, then continued to do sub work when they come back from college, went off to Brown's College, and now they are employed themselves with a librarian degree. So that would be, that's our like huge success story, right? So maybe one of these, a budding young writer or a writer in the next 6 weeks or so. All right. The next thing I want to talk about is our employee rewards program. We've had an employee rewards program for many years. It kind of changes as opportunities change, but recently one of the parts of the employee rewards program was what we call thank you notes, where I could just recognize something that a peer did, I could write a little thank you note, and it was worth, you could get, an employee can gather up 5 of those and get an hour's of leave. It wasn't a huge part of our employee rewards program, but it was something that the employees really appreciated. There have been some changes in council, some direction from council that part of our program had to go away. So what we did was beef up another program that we have so that the employees still have a similar benefit, and I just wanted to go over what our program is like. So we have a group of people on our employee rewards work group, and folks can submit through a process. They can submit something that a coworker did, a supervisor can submit for one of their employees. A lot of times a work group will recognize the people that did a good job, like creating outcome or something like that. So they can submit this program through this employee rewards group, and it's vetted. We want to make sure that it's consistent across the board, like similar amount of work gets a similar amount of recognition. And it used to be 1 hour bonus leave. You could get like 2 hours of bonus leave and $25 gift certificate. That program is still here. But we used to only have, you could only earn 8 hours per year in that program, through this program. We've upped that to 16 hours. We've doubled that, hoping that people can use that part of the program to replace the thank you note program. If it's just something small, right? They stayed late to help with a program and clean up because someone called out sick, so the supervisor might say, yeah, that really helped us out. Here's this $25. They can choose between time off and the gift card. We have gift cards to Target, Amazon, other programs like that. Those also change occasionally, but... Or they can get, like, the next level, maybe to do something that took a little more time or had a bigger impact. They could get 4 hours a week or $50 bonus, and they can choose which one they would like. 6 hour leave or $75 bonus could be something bigger that maybe impacted the system or impacted multiple people. And then 8 hours or $100 gift card. That would be, of course, something even bigger. They can get up to $200 a year of gift cards. That's what the number allows. And they can get up to 16 hours, so 2 days of bonus sleep. So we kind of cushion that a little bit to kind of take a, you know, cover that the old program that we have to let go of. Additionally, though, if someone does something even bigger than a $200 bonus, we do have a cash bonus program that goes through the leadership team. Those are usually things like getting a national award, doing something that impacts the whole community. Maybe they took on a giant project that took multiple months of work. Those are the kinds of programs that we could do an additional cash bonus if we feel like something is worth more than the $200. Did I forget anything?
No, this is reflective. I know you said this at the top, but it aligns with the county policy for employee recognition. So this is our sort of version of that, that nests, I would say.
We have a lot of amazing employees with the camp, with the library, and some of them don't have an opportunity to do something grand, right? And I love that this program allows us to thank the people for the small things that might make a big difference.
And it was a change in HR policy, right, that precipitated this?
Through the direction of council.
Through the direction of council.
Yeah, thank you.
Who was determining, like, which level the thing falls under?
The Employee Rewards Committee would do that. And they do that. I can just nominate, and then the Employee Rewards Committee will look at which level. And what they're doing is just kind of comparing it to cash nominations and trying to make sure that we're being equitable on that, right? So it's not like there's a series of favorites where they get $100. It's, no, this is about this level of work. Typically in the past, we've done this. And there are some things that it's just pretty consistent. People get nominated for something that we frequently do. And so we know, oh, that's a $20. We know that's $100. We know, let's bump that up to relations.
Do the supervisors, like, nominate their teams? And is there an equity issue? And, like, maybe Magnet doesn't get, like, you get less nominations out of one branch than another branch? Or
we do keep an eye on that. And it is true that some people use this program more than others. You can nominate teams, but then what we would prefer is the different contributions within the team. Just because you belong to a nice committee and showed up doesn't mean that you made that big of a contribution. So we rely very heavily on the supervisors or the chair people of the committee to outline exactly what that contribution was. And sometimes the Employee Rewards Committee doesn't make a decision the month they were nominated and goes back to see if it gets more information just to make sure it's as equitable as we can. Now, there's always some subjectivity, but I think we've done a pretty good job of trying to make this fit as possible. Thank you. Okay. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you, Emily. Okay, final item on the agenda within the 12th. To support election update.
Since we're a little ahead of the schedule, I just have a fun anecdote to share about event or about the intern program. So I was a branch manager 7 years ago. It's been a while, but my last intern, it's a great opportunity to mentor people as well. And so he went on to get a job with the library, and then he's finished college, and he just got married over the weekend and invited me. So it was so fun. So fun to keep it, you know, in contact with these interns. So it's a great program. So I have a couple slides. They're not that amazing slides. I made them for me. I just wanted to kind of talk to you about some of the statistics that you see in our board's report. We've seen recently a few spikes in our usage statistics. These aren't unusual. They're often caused by, like, vendor errors, like something wrong on the reporting end, or there's a software glitch, or this is a new one for us, automated activity like AI bots. So we're seeing kind of, like, some spikes and stuff like that. So our team, Rachel Richardson, who's our database administrator, Lindy Bueller, who's our database librarian, and myself, we're closely monitoring all these stats and you know, for discrepancies, and also working directly with vendors whenever, like, questions like these arise, like, why is it so high or why is it so low? So that means that when you see our reports, they're always verified. For example, we recently saw what we think is a bot, or perhaps a very passionate patron researched 55,000 records off of our ProQuest Global. So we think it's a bot, but who knows? But and this was ProQuest Global is where we patrons can access newspapers and academic journals. Even though a bot was most likely used, it was accessed using our subscription. So this is a new situation we're navigating. We think it's a bot. The vendor can't verify. And we'll see whether it's a one-time occurrence or if it's a similar activity that happens throughout, you know, if it becomes a more normal process. So it's also something to note that our vendors may not always meet our deadlines for monthly statistics. So this is why you'll sometimes see that there's adjustments with online retrieval numbers, such as Pine Online, Utah Newspapers in particular, will always be added after the fact. So you'll always see that kind of changing. We're trying to, well, these are like occasional spikes or changes in our statistics. We definitely review these for transparency, and we maintain our best ability to accuracy of all the reports. So we're trying to make sure that we're having that high quality standard. So if there's ever an audit, we can explain all of the fluctuations in our stats. So that's kind of just why you'll see like suddenly jump in requests, why there's 55,000. So, but it was, that's the usage we verified with our vendor. They can't verify if it was bought or not. So just kind of to explain, like, we do know how to take stats. You're all over. Yes.
Sorry. So series one, series two, and series three, what are those referencing? On the chart.
Oh, this is just kind of what we, this is what equals a retrieval, the login searches and retrievals. This is just a graphic, just to hold your attention, that it does not represent anything. But we do look at login searches and retrievals on your data,
okay,
on your searches that you, on your statistics. That's why you'll see a fluctuation every month sometimes, and like, you'll be like, wait, it was this last month, it's this month. That's why, it's because we're getting vendor information later. Or, you know, we have a bot. We're trying to navigate this. This is new, you know, kind of thing. So just kind of explaining why you see a jump in our statistics.
Done.
This is not a really great stat. I'm a librarian. It's like, just hold your attention. So, and then I have one other thing to share, unless anyone has any questions. So we have this all documented. We try to have transparency, just kind of explanation.
When you, like, get a bot like that in ProQuest, how, like, is the library charged high amounts for searches in ProQuest, or is the subscription all income? Like,
it's all encompassing. It's per the year, so it doesn't matter how many people use it. So it doesn't affect our cost. Yeah. That would be so special.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Yeah. So it's just like, it's just something to know. So we're like, why is it $55 this month? Oh my goodness. So that's kind of what it is. I have something else that's shared for. We have a new library of things coming out. This is a bird watching kit that will be the new pilot program that our work group committee is presenting. So it's these fun little bird watching kits that have all these fun things in here that patrons can check out. So there's like a great guide about Utah birds and couple different options for viewing. They have like a monocular, so if you like, and a stand for it, so if you're really into it, so like focus on a specific bird. We also have binoculars in here, so you and a friend can go together and bird watch. And then it comes with like some instructions, some great bird watching sites that people can get some more information. And Utah is like a pretty cool place to do bird watching. We've got like over 400 species in the different habitats around our state. I think this will be a popular item. Our nature kits check out quite a bit, so it's like this is kind of like nature kits but for adults. So it's going to be at all the ranches. They had an opt-in. It's kind of, since it's a pilot program, so not all ranches opted in. And so they're going to be at 14 locations for checkout. They check out for 3 weeks. And if there's no holds, it'll renew for the patron. And that's kind of the kit. You can check it out after. These will be coming to branches soon. So that's a fun new library of things. So, any questions? Okay.
Great. Thank you. Very
cool.
Yeah. So you have one.
If I could go back, one, I want to tell you about upcoming events. We've changed a few things for you that you might want to attend. Friday night at Holiday, we have a star party. So for those of you who are new, that's going to be enticing. You can stop by there. At the Meridian Event Center on Saturday is Chocolate Walk, which is a great chalk art festival. And then September 12th and 13th, Friday and Saturday, is our Tojo Con, which is like a major event for our team's plan.
I love talking about Tojo Con. Tojo Con is great for teams. You could go into the tent, you could want to compose animals, let their other teams know about their awesome band that they love, and they want to come to the park contest, or use the video contest. So it's a chance for teams to just meet and get together. We usually get, I think that our attendance over the 2 days is usually in the 1,500 to 2,000 range. So we get a lot of participation. It's just a great chance to have a space for teams. And going on for, I think, 8 years? Yeah, it's just going to go to 3 years.
And only teams are invited. So actually, you're invited to the star party of Toronto.
I'm excited to hear all of that.
Yeah, you will. Talking about that, just a couple of big projects that we have. I talked about our new construction when I talked about our building today, but I forgot to suffer also people this is buildings, which include our, we have a remodel coming up with one of the dates for Tamsville.
In September.
That's right. So we're going to completely redo the front entrance of our Chandlersville branch. And we talked about that, I think, with the board a few months ago. It's happening. The branch will be closed for a few months to we can't get people safely in and out of the building. And a library, which is some of its charm, it's under construction. So we'll be closing the branch for that. And we have a project coming up too, HVAC, so it's not changing the appearance as much, although we'll be adding a vestibule in the front to help keep some of the temps, the outdoor temperatures from affecting the building so much. And so that'll be, as Sarah said, building's 20. It's time to do some of those projects. So just wanted to make you aware of those before we move.
Well, Village was closed. What's the kind of close still at the library?
It's West Valley.
Yeah, I think we started a mile ago, but we'll be having people go to West Valley and spring
So, and then West Valley.
West Valley.
We had to reduce our hours, and we thought we might have to close this summer because that trooper of a building is past its useful life, and so we are looking forward to a rebuild there, and we're working on that as well. But for now, it's the fall. The shoulder seasons are the best time for West Valley because we don't have to worry about HVAC as much. So we're looking for a strong October and November in West Valley, and we'll keep you updated.
I think we started to have that question. It's really nice to show both of those communities about actually, like, which house I'm having.
And we really, you know, when we're figuring out where we're going to put libraries, obviously these are existing branches that have been here for a long time, but we try to find those pockets so that everybody is within a pretty short drive of a library, which means that when one closes, that's a hit, but we have other options depending on where you are around it that are convenient for you. I think that's it for real this time.
Alright, anything else? Hearing none, we have a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Adjourn.
Do we have a second?
Yes, sir.
Alright, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Probably none. Alright, we are adjourned.
Early.
Thank you, everybody. Yes, what was before?
Yeah. Yeah.